Good afternoon, everyone. It's nice to have the 50 degrees and blue skies, bright sun again. We're going to jump right to it first thing with the question. What did you do the last time somebody wronged you? What did you do the last time someone wronged you? Let's see what is said about that subject. Let's turn to Luke 6. Luke 6. And we will read verses 27 through 35. Luke 6, verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. Now here in the first few verses, we see that Christ is trying to impress upon us the idea of how we should react as a Christian. In verse 31, just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them also. A very well-known verse known as the Golden Rule. Verse 32, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you have hoped to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. The point being made here is that we must be and act like a Christian. Our actions must go far beyond what is even considered good by the world we live in. It can be very frustrating and hurtful when someone wrongs us. It's natural to want to get even or behave just as that person behaved, or maybe even worse. But we just got to react in the proper way. In these challenging times we live in, we need to pause for a moment and realize that although we can't control what happens to us, we can control how we react or how we respond. What really matters is how we handle being wronged, and not so much the why of being wronged. Handling wrongs in the right way pleases God, and truthfully, it's just simply the right thing to do. Doing right when we've been wrong can lead to respect from others, and it can bring rewards that aren't even expected. I have a true story here that does provide a good example of what we're talking about that I'd like to share with you. In April of 1942, Desmond Doss entered the U.S. Army as a conscientious objector for his religious beliefs. He would serve in the 77th Infantry. From the beginning, Doss was disliked, he was harassed, and his life was even threatened because of his beliefs, and for the time he spent reading the Bible. The other men tried to get Doss transferred out of their unit because of their strong dislike for him and the way he believed. In the spring of 1945, his battalion attacked a high target on a cliff. As the troops made their way to the top, they were met with heavy barrages of mortar and artillery and machine gun fire. The enemy inflicted many casualties and drove the others back. Doss refused to find cover, and he remained in the hot zone with many injured men in his unit. He carried them one by one to the edge of the cliff, and he lowered them to safety. Every time he lowered them to safety, he prayed to God, "Dear God, let me just get one more man." Now remember, these are the same men that were wronging Doss. Even some of them wanted him dead. In three more battles that spring, he braved enemy fire and heavy barrages of artillery and grenades. And so that he could attend to the ones that were injured and deliver them to safety. On May 21st, while giving aid to the injured, Doss was seriously wounded in his legs by an explosion of a grenade. Caring for his own wounds, he waited several hours for the stretchers to come and take him to a safe location. Along the way, they passed more injured soldiers, and Doss insisted on giving up his stretcher so that another badly injured soldier could be taken to safety first. While Doss waited for the return of the stretcher, he was struck by a bullet, causing a compound fracture to his arm. And with incredible mental and emotional strength, he bound a rifle stock to his arm to act as a splint. And then he crawled several hundred yards over incredibly rugged terrain to the aid station. Once he was at safety, Doss discovered that he had lost his Bible, and he made the request that it be looked for. An entire battalion combed the battlefield until that Bible was found. And then a sergeant carefully dried it out and mailed it to Doss. Due to Doss's outstanding bravery and determination in the face of immense dangerous conditions, Private First Class Doss saved many lives and became the first conscientious objector to receive the Congressional Medal of Honor for outstanding gallantry far and beyond the call of duty. Desmond Doss was wronged by the men he was going to serve with in so many ways. He was undeservingly wronged in every kind of way. They ridiculed him. They harassed him. They threatened him. They wanted rid of him. They threatened his life. All because he chose to do the right thing. And that was to try to live as a Christian. But instead of dwelling on these things and being brought down by these disturbing motives, he chose not to behave like they were behaving. Doss could have protected himself in the gunfire, but he didn't. He chose to rescue every man who wanted him gotten rid of, and maybe even killed. He made the decision that even though he was being wronged unfairly, that he was going to serve and putting his own life on the line for every man who wanted rid of him. In the end, because of Doss's example, he received respect from those men. It's easy to treat people well when they treat you well. But the real test is when you're treated badly. How would we react? How are you going to react when treated unfairly or badly wronged? Let's turn to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. We'll start reading in verse 19. Here in these verses, Peter is encouraging the following of Christ's example. And I'll be reading from the New International Version. Verse 19, "For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering, because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing what is wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God." Verse 21, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly." The suffering of Christ has much bigger purpose than just what we are talking about here. But it is his conduct that provides us the example of how we are to be a Christian. And this is exactly the way we need to respond when we have been wronged. It's easy to feel angry, especially when we've been treated unfairly. But it is very important for us to resist anger when we feel wronged. We need to be wise and not come into agreement with the ways of the world, the ways of fighting for our own rights and the urge to get even. A wise man is willing to look over the faults of others. You don't have to turn there, but in Proverbs 19, verse 11, it says, "The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and it is to his glory to overlook a transgression." How determined are we to do right when we have been wronged? Maybe we've been rejected by someone. Maybe we've been ridiculed for our ideas and beliefs. Maybe we've been deceived by someone. Several ways to be wronged, and I'm sure we all have our stories. The bottom line is, it hurts when we're wronged. It can become a real test of self-control, which we know is a fruit of God's Spirit, a virtue that we must be developing and strengthening, and a needed characteristic in becoming like Christ. Let's continue in 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. "Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion one for another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous. Not returning evil for evil, insult for insult, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing." This is a difficult concept for some to understand. It goes against human nature. And human nature wants to get even now. God's watching. He wants to see how we are going to react. And if we do so in the right way, He's going to fill our life with many blessings. We are just around the corner from the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. And as we examine our lives, let's also remember that Christ suffered wrongfully for us. He left us an incredible example of doing right when being done wrong. No one has ever been more wrong than Christ. People today, they feel justified to get even when somebody has wronged them. And they will devise many ways of taking their revenge, taking their vengeance, and getting even. Some of those people will hold grudges so tightly that it's passed down through generations of their family. I'll admit, I've fallen victim to this way of thinking temporarily. I've been wrong. I wanted to get even. But then I had to quickly snuff those thoughts out so they didn't take hold. I had to remind myself of the words that Christ spoke when He was on the stake. "Father, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they are doing." I have only one point for us today. Although we may not feel like it, the point is, just do the right thing. Forgive and move on. Just do the right thing. Forgive and move on. We can't let things get in the way of us being a Christian. We must continue moving forward. Don't turn there, but in Luke 9:62, Christ said, "Those who look back, they're not worthy of the kingdom. They're not fit for the kingdom." When we forgive, we are setting ourselves free from the hurt. We are choosing to move forward and not allow, however we may have been wrong, to consume us. This is an important step because the person or persons that have wronged us may not even ask us for forgiveness. For some, they may not have even realized that they've done anything wrong when they've hurt someone. For others, even if they know they hurt someone, they don't care. And they will try to justify all their actions. Some people know that they are doing what they are doing, and some people don't. And either way, We must choose to do the right thing when we are wronged. We need not to allow ourselves to be drugged down by the past, and we need to focus on the present and on the future. Be at peace. All we can do is what we can do. Let God fight our battles. Put it in His hands. Understand that God can do a much better job of taking care of the situation than you or I can. It may not be within our time frame, but we can be confident that God will make things right. Forgiving and moving on is required of us. Let's turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. And read verses 31 and 32. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, with all intent. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. It's so important that we do the right things, even if others do not. God is so insistent on us being able to forgive those who have wronged us that He won't even forgive our sins if we are not forgiving others. This is something we just can't afford to let happen. For my last scripture, please turn with me to Romans 12, and we'll read verse 19. Romans 12, and we'll read verse 19. And it says, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. God will be the final judge on all matters. He will be the one that rights all the wrongs that have ever been done. We must make the right choices in all that we do, brethren. Leave the rest in God's hands. In closing, I'd like to read you a poem that we have hanging in our kitchen. I really like it. I read it every morning as encouragement and a reminder of the attitude that we need to approach such matters with. It is called Do It Anyway. People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people will accuse you of being selfish or have an ulterior motive. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some unthankful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyways. What you spend in years creating, others may and can destroy overnight. Create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some people may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. They give the best you have, and if it's never enough, give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it's between you and God. It was never about you and them anyway. This really is simple and encouraging truth, isn't it? We will throughout our lives be wronged in many different ways, but always make the right choice and do the right thing anyways. Have a great Sabbath.